Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 567. It's the 24th of August, 2016. On the podcast today, I have CEO of Vast Resources, ticker BAST. Roy Pitchford covers their recent quarterly update and answers private investor questions. Also on the podcast, Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, talks about Edenville Energy, ticker EDL, and Farren Pharmaceuticals, F-A-R-N. I also have the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. Listen, you've got to look at this list. You have to look at this list. It is unbelievable, the connection and the strength of share price performance and the players on this list that regularly appear on this list. I've got an example. Today, another huge riser, number one and two, big risers. In fact, number one, two, three, and four, and five are big risers today. If you want to know what's hot, follow this list. Put them on your watch list. I mean that. I'm talking about watch lists. One for your watch list today, suggested by John. And the company's Red Ember Resources are, like I say, everything in this podcast is an investment idea. Some ideas are good, some ideas are bad. Please do your own research on everything you hear. All right, this is not investment advice. It's just ideas we put out there. So that's that, Red Emperor Resources. I'll read out the reasons why John has gone with Red Emperor in a few moments' time.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Roy Pitchford, CEO of Vast Resources, ticker VAST. Roy, thanks for coming back on.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you know, there are people aware of you. We've had several questions from investors, but there are some people probably listening to the podcast not aware of you, Roy. So if you could you give us a summary as to what Vast is all about?
Certainly. London listed with operations in Zimbabwe and Romania. In Zimbabwe, we are currently involved in a producing gold mine called Pixton Peerless, which is doing very well. And we have the adjacent giant mine that we also own, another brownfields project that we now want to start having a look at, because both were previously fairly large mines in Zimbabwe. The success of Pixton is now encouraging us to have a look at giant. We have other interests in Zimbabwe, but they're not in an as advanced stage as we are with the gold. In Romania, we are developing polymetallic mines. These are former state-owned assets that are in the process of being restructured and converted from the previous way of doing things to the private sector way of doing things. So those are the two areas of interest at the moment. We used to be in Zambia with rare earths and copper, but we're in the process of disposing of those assets at this point in time. So the focus is Zimbabwe and Romania.
Okay, and just go through a couple of figures there from the quarterly update. So, you take the lead because you should know them better than me. So, can you give us some highlights from that quarterly update recently released?
Yes. The significant factor in the Pixton Peerless mine is that we've now reached steady state production of milling 20,000 tons a month. Originally, the plant was installed with a 10,000 ton capacity, but because of the expertise of the engineering people there, they've managed to get this plant to process 20,000 tons a month. The grades are good, and as a consequence, our monthly gold production has been at around 1,600 ounces a month, compared to what we originally expected of 900 ounces a month. So a very significant increase, and because of volume, your cost per ounce is down. And on top of that, we've got a very good gold price. So the operations in Zimbabwe are doing very, very well. Mm-hmm. In Romania, we took over at Maniela Polymetallic Mine. We took over an existing operation. The vendors, in our opinion, were not managing it properly. We're not taking advantage of its potential. We bought the mine 50%, 50.1% stake in it with ability to increase our percentage. We shut it down for a month, reorganized things basically along the original lines, reopened the mine and improved the productivity and the performance of the mine quite a bit. But the original configuration at the mine was not taking full advantage of the potential. And basically, the mine was producing a copper concentrate of fairly reasonable grade, but was incurring large penalties because of zinc being present in the copper concentrate, which meant that the zinc product, or the zinc contained in the ore body, was being lost either by penalty to the copper concentrate or was going to the tailings dam. And so it was very evident that to exploit this mine properly, we needed to separate the zinc from the copper concentrate and then produce a separate zinc and copper concentrate. Now, in order to do that, we had to refurbish the equipment, a lot of the equipment. It's a very well-equipped mine. It just needed the equipment to be rehabilitated, etc. So we did test work locally in Romania, in the laboratories, with a view to separating the copper and the zinc, and we have very, very good results in the laboratory. When we tried to apply the laboratory formula to the plant, we didn't have the same success, which is often the case. What happens in the laboratory doesn't necessarily end up operating on the plant. So that was a disappointment, that the test work wasn't replicated in the plant. So we retained the services of SGS in the UK and Minexcom in South Africa, who have undertaken their own test work and came up with the same results as the test work in Romania produced, and they saw no reason why we couldn't separate the copper and the zinc. Instead of them telling us what to do, we've brought them out and they are currently on site and they are showing us what to do rather than telling us what to do. And they're working with my Romanian senior management, and they've worked incredibly well, been there for the last 8 weeks or so. And we're now starting to see good progress. And I've just returned from Romania, and I'm very pleased with the progress that we are now making. And I believe that the separation process has now been implemented at the plant. And the second phase of this process is now to start producing a zinc concentrate, which we'll sell. So previously, we only sold a copper concentrate with a penalty for the zinc. Now we're going to sell a pure copper concentrate and a pure zinc concentrate. And I believe that will have a major impact on the company.
Okay, and could you just take us through where you're at with the BP mine in Romania, please?
The Biotoplaya mine, right. That is a very frustrating saga, and I appreciate the frustration of investors and shareholders, and it is shared by management. But I need to point out that what we attempting to do with the Biotoplaya license is almost groundbreaking in Romania. The former company was placed into what we would consider to be administration in Romania. Now, in the UK, to take a company out of administration and back into solvency with sufficient funds is a relatively simple process. It is not quite so simple in Romania. And the advice we got was to merge the company in administration with a new company that we had formed, and by merging the two and taking the assets from the company administration and putting it into a new company, it would be the quicker way to get the license reinstated. Now, the Romanian regulations and law provide for this process, but it's one that is not frequently used. In fact, we think that this is only the second time that this process has been used in Romania, and certainly the first time that it's been used in the mining industry. And so there's been a huge learning curve on our side, and there's also been a learning curve on the government side. And as you know, education is expensive. We now understand how the system works, and we've removed all the regulatory and legal hurdles. And we're now sitting down with the government to finalize the transfer back of this license. And I need to emphasize that the buy-to-apply license is a peculiar situation. It's a one-off. When we've applied for licenses in the ordinary course of business, i.e. at Maniela for the extension of the mining area, for the tailings dam at Baita, these licenses have come through very quickly because they're in the normal course of license application. In Baita Ply, the mining license is a peculiar situation, and that's why it's taken so long. But as I said, we've learned, we now understand, and obviously this situation will never arise again. Anything else that we do in Romania will be through the normal course of events rather than this special course that we've taken with Baita. But having started it, I have to finish it this way. And that's why it's taken longer than we had hoped.
Understand. Okay. A few questions from investors here. So first and foremost, what's your thoughts on the share price over the last 12 months?
We've had a number of what I felt were reasonably positive announcements, first gold production, first concentrate production, you know, all the work we've done to get the operations in Romania going. And we seem to get an uplift, and then the share price just fades down again. I find it very frustrating that this share price just hasn't moved. And you know, I'm very conscious of it, and we are working very hard to get the investor confidence and get people to understand our story. I think it is very unique. And when you can understand what it is we're trying to achieve, you know, this company has got a lot of potential, but it's how to deliver that message to the market is the challenge.
Okay. Next question is, why do you keep diluting and using destructive financing mechanisms? Could you explain the financing you've used, please, Roy, to phrase this question correctly, please?
Well, I'm not exactly sure what is being referred to. If it's referring to dilution, I understand that. We have to fund the company. Remember that at the beginning of 2014, it was an exploration company. It had no access to any sort of funding other than shareholder putting more and more money to discover more and more resources. At the beginning of 2014, the decision was made to convert the company from exploration into a production company. And to go into production, you need funding. The company had utilized all its funding in exploration. It had no resources, and it now has to raise capital to get mines into production. We've got Pixton Peerless into production, we've got Maniela into production, and we're well placed to get Baita Ply into production. We've had to raise money. Now, raising debt finance in any format when you're starting out as we are, as we have been, it's just simply not possible. And so we've had to raise money by equity means, and that's dilutive. Perhaps the reference to destructive was the Creed transaction, and that has not been a happy experience, as everybody knows. But because of the shareholder support and involvement, the Creed transaction, we withdrew from it. And we now have to replace the money that we expected from the Creed transaction by other means. And we didn't appreciate the volume of sales that would take place of shares as a consequence of the Creed transaction. Had the share price been kept up, the Cree transaction would not have been so dilutive. But because the share price reduced so dramatically, the Cree transaction became hugely dilutive. But as I said, we managed to withdraw from that, and we now need to consolidate and go forward.
Okay, and a last question. I'm not sure if they mean yourself or the company or how long, but how much money do you actually need? That's the last question there.
Well, you know, when we did the Cree transaction, we were expecting to raise £5 million. We got 1.25 initially. And basically, that 3.75 to 4 million pounds, part of which we've already raised, is what we now need to secure. We don't need to do it in one hit. But once the Baeta Ply license comes through, I'm going to be very, very keen to get that mine back into production, bearing in mind its grade is twice that of Manila, and it has a greater suite of metals and minerals in it. So upon receipt of that license, we're going to want to accelerate development there.
Okay, marvellous stuff. Well, Roy, I mean, to summarise, if you can give us three reasons why an investor should add Vast Resources to their Vox Markets watch list, please. If you could sort of summarise in three bullet points, please.
Wow. Right. The thing is that we are operating in two quite challenging domains, Zimbabwe and Romania. And if you ask investors, would these be normal areas that you would want to have mining investment as a destination, is probably not. So what we are doing is we're operating in areas where, because of the perceived situations in the country, you're getting mining assets at a huge discount. And that is the opportunity that we see there. These assets normally would not be available at the prices that they are available at. Now, the second point is that by operating in these areas, when Zimbabwe and Romania are fully back into the international scene, as it were, and they once again become mining investment destinations, I think the assets that are in Romania and Zimbabwe are going to be re-rated quite substantially. So besides getting into production and getting cash flow, et cetera, when Zimbabwe and Romania are once again mining investment destinations, I think these asset discounts are going to disappear. Secondly, thirdly, the other advantage we have, because these areas are not favorable from an investor point of view, there's very little competition. And particularly in Romania, we just do not see other mining companies operating because it's difficult, it's not easy to understand. And our advantage is that we've got very senior Romanian people who are well-versed in the system, are able to access state information and data on mines, etc. And so we're in a unique position in Romania to be able to assess the mining opportunities. And to some extent in Zimbabwe, there is quite a lot of interest in Zimbabwe, but not what you would normally expect. And so we operating in two jurisdictions where we don't have a lot of competition at the moment, but that is going to change, because I think Zimbabwe is going to come out from its current economic situation, which is fairly dire. And Romania is in the process of amending its regulations and mining laws that are going to make the country attractive to foreign mining companies. And so until these two things happen, we're kind of operating in an area where we don't have a lot of competition.
Okay, marvellous stuff. All right, well, thanks for coming on. And listen, I look forward to chatting to you again in the not-too-distant future.
Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Wade.
And joining me on the podcast right now is CEO of Brand Communications, Alan Green. You're all right, Al?
Morning, Just. Yeah, I'm very good, thanks. How are you?
Yes, I'm all right. We're in a bit of a middle of a heat wave, aren't we?
Just a bit. Well, I took advantage this morning. I thought, well, I've got to really sort of up my cycling. So I went out for a ride very early this morning, and I'm glad I did, because it's now way too hot. There's no way I go out there now. I'd probably expire.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? I've got a treadmill. I'm trying to run every evening at the moment. And last night, after I finished, I didn't. This is a pretty picture. I didn't stop sweating for an hour. I just couldn't.
I
thought I was going to run dry. I thought, what's going on here? I can't stop. But I thought it was going to waste away. But there we are. We mustn't complain, you know. It won't happen for long. It'll be gone. It'll be winter before we know it. And we'll say, oh, where's the summer gone? Just enjoy it. All right, what are we looking at today?
Well, a couple of points. Just firstly, Edenville Energy. We've discussed before, and there have been some updates there that I want to run over, because I think, you know, their company is really starting to make progress. And also want to chat about a pharmaceutical company called Farron Pharma that listed last year. So I'll start with Edenville. Of course, we know Edenville Energy has coal fields in Tanzania. Mm-hmm. It's got the Mukamole, Molo, the Namwale and Muse gold fields. Estimated 173 million tons of coal there, which sells for a fairly chunky price. So clearly, if all that were available to sell right now, then the market cap would be somewhat higher than the current 3.4 million that it currently trades at. Shares have sort of come off. They've drifted down from the year high of 0.25. So they're starting to turn around. But a couple of points of late, which I think are worth noting. Tanzania, Edenville put out an RNS a week or so ago saying Tanzania had implemented a coal import ban, which is great news for local producers, of course. And it's the Edenville said in the RNS that it gives them a near-term supply opportunity, and in fact the Rukwa field is pretty well ready for production. Now this is good, but the only thing is the only cloud on the horizon that I can see is that they may look to do another raise, which could be why the share price hasn't reacted to this. In fact, the company are doing a presentation in London at Bangers in Wilson Street on the 31st of August, which is next week. So investors listening might want to get along to that to find out what the company has to say. They've also appointed new chairman, Jeff Malahale, who's very well regarded in Tanzania. The company has the coal in the fields has also been assessed as suitable after washing for coal-fired power. So it looks to me as though this is, given the coal import ban, that this could be a very promising opportunity in the near future. Once we know if they need to raise any money, any further monies or not, to develop the field into production.
Yeah, well, I think it's just worth getting along to Bangers. That sounds a decent place to go.
Oh, it does. Well, I frequent Bangers. It's my favourite haunt when I'm in town. If it's also at this time of year nice and cool as well, because it's underground. So it's a wonderful little spot to go, just for if you want to set yourself away in the corner and have a quiet beer, or just catch up with some emails and stuff. It's a great place. I can thoroughly recommend it.
I've been to Bangers. I didn't realise it was called Bangers though. A while back, in fact, I think it was before Christmas last year, the momentous event. Who went for a few drinks there first? Yeah, it was in sort of Christmas party season. There's lots of drunk ladies around and fellas all dressed up. So I also thought, is this the usual crowd? But obviously it was Christmas, so there we are. So what's the other stock you're looking at, Al?
Okay, the other stock, it's a biopharma. We've also talked about a few biopharmas of late, and this one caught my eye. It's a company called Farron Pharma. The epic code is FARN, F-A-R-N. Mm-hmm. Company listed last year, raised a sum of money last year. Share price, the float price was about 270p, went as high as 285, year low of 242. It's currently trading around that level. The company's worth £58 million. It's got a number, it's a biopharma company, it's got a number of products. It's got a product called Traumakine, which helps patients with acute respiratory distressed symptoms, ARDS. It's also got Clevegen, which is a cancer immunotherapy drug. The company has focused since the float on developing its distribution network, and it has three partners, Maruishi Pharma in China, China Medical obviously in China, and Fambio in Korea. The company's also recently signed an agreement with Abenza to manufacture a therapeutic antibody to do with Clevegen. And that's the operational side of it. On the management side, we've got a guy called Marco Jalkanen, who was the former CEO of Biotide Therapies Corp, which is a Nasdaq listed company, which did pretty well by all accounts. And what I assume is his wife. I could be wrong here, so apologies to Marco and Serpa if that's not the case. But Serpa Jalkanen, who's a scientist working with the company, she won a second prize at the EU Women Innovators Awards this year. So you've got a pretty good heavy hitting team there behind this company. The current share price is below the float price from last year, but the brokers are quite enthusiastic about it. Pamela Gordon has a buy rating with a 383p price target, so I would say that given the developments to date, this could be worth picking up at anywhere below the float price.
Yeah, okay. I'm just looking through their balance sheet here, see how much cash they've got. Is it 11 million euros, I think, was it at the year end?
That's right.
All right, marvellous stuff. Yeah, go on.
I should say that they're also based in Finland as well. They're a Finnish-based company, hence the very Scandinavian-sounding names of the board.
Yeah, I was going to say. Marvellous stuff. Thanks, sir. So Edenville and Farn, worth having a look at, doing some extra research on. Have a nice day sunbathing, Alan, your Speedos.
There's a fat chance of that. I shall be. I'm going to be dabbling in a classic motorcycle sale today. So that's going to keep me occupied once I've finished my bits and pieces.
That's given me an even better picture of you flying on the road there on your motorbike in your Speedos.
In the Speedos, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes.
Cheers, Al. Speak next week.
Cheers, Josh. All the best.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. This is an important list. Pay attention to these companies that regularly appear in this top five because their share price performance is stellar, some of them. So at five, it's Bell Zone Mining, BZM. At four, Prospect Oil & Gas moving up again. At three, Independent Oil & Gas, IOG, again moving up. At two, big riser today, Tulu Energy. And at number one, another big riser, MySquare. All right, so check those out. All right, talking about watch lists, here is suggested one for your watch list today. It is Red Ember Resources, suggested by John. RMP is ticker. It's an oil and gas exploration company, 425 million shares in issue. Company share price, 1.15 pence, around about 5 million market cap. What revenue and profit loss does the company generate? At year end, 31st December 2015, they made a loss before tax of $8.5 million, which was an impairment, pretty much. Their statement income from interest payments was $125K. How much cash or debt does the company have? 6.7 million cash, no debt. They do have cash. I haven't checked out the debt here. So that cash pretty much equates. At year end, that was $12.25 million. So there's a lot of cash there. And there's three reasons why you think people should put this company on their watch list. Okay, number one, currently 50% under cash in bank value. Number two, close to announcing a new asset in the portfolio. Share price was 50 pence in 2012. And number three, low overheads, a low cash burn. So check that out. Red Emperor Resources. By all means, put on your watch list, but do some research, please. Thank you very much for listening. Hopefully tomorrow, on tomorrow's podcast, I have the ever-popular Cloud Tag. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.